Well, Pastor Corey has been ministering on for a while. He was talking about peace and the peace that God gives us, the peace that passes all understanding. And I talk to people and I hear people go, there's something missing. And I told Corey the other day that when we went to Andrews and did music with him out there, and I told Laurie, I said, man, I've got this peace like I've never had before. And it's so good. But it's an excited peace. It's an excited peace that there's stuff going on, y'all, that's good. And we think that there's a bunch of junk going on, and there is. But where are we looking at? Last week, Corey talked about that he was talking about being in a spiritual rut. And are we in a spiritual rut? Are you in a spiritual rut? I'm not asking for show of hands. It's rhetorical. But you know what? At some point in time, it's a good chance that all of us at one time or another have gone through a spiritual rut. And he said, well, how do we start moving away from that? And what do we work on? We said you work on the ifs in the Bible. You work on your love walk. And then you work on your Bible patience. And that P word for a lot of people is an ugly word, that patience thing. Because it's things that we don't necessarily want to wait on. But man, it's a good thing to wait on the Lord. Amen? Amen. So, I've been on a little journey after the first of this year, and I'm just going to share part of it. But I'd had health issues in my stomach for about 7 years now. When we first came here, I wound up in the hospital, and they gave me some antibiotic stuff, and it really messed my stomach up. Unbeknownst to me, that's what caused it. And then also another medication I've been taking for a long time. And I told my wife, I said, you know, after the first of the year, I said, I'm taking my health back. I said, you know, that's our right as Christians that we can take back what's ours. See, the devil had stole that health from me. But it's mine to take back. But how does that happen? What do we do to get there? Y'all turn to Revelations 12:11. Put a finger when you find Revelations 12:11. Put your finger in that spot. And then find Romans 8:37. Say amen if you're there. Say oh me if you're not. Okay, we'll wait on you. Romans 8:37. We'll start there since that's the last one I had you look up. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Say more than conquerors. Okay, now flip over to Revelations where I had you put your finger, and if you're using your phone, you didn't have to put your finger there. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives. We overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are more than conquerors through the Lord Christ. Now, here's another one of those questions. You don't have to raise your hands right now. How many of you at this point right now feel like an overcomer? And you don't have to raise your hand. Because what happens when a minister asks a congregation, or do you, if you feel this way, well, most people are going to raise their hand because they just, I don't want anybody else to not know. But here's the deal. Do you feel like more than a conqueror? Sometimes those things happen when we don't feel that way. Amen? And what causes us to feel that way? So what I started this walk of changing what I ate. We went to a minister's conference and we bought a book in the bookstore at Kenneth Copeland's ministry. And it was a Christian doctor that had written about he said it's called the Healthy Gut Zone. All right? We started reading it. Laurie started reading it the day we started home. And it was like, oh my Lord. We discovered what had caused why I had stomach issues for the last 7 years. So we found a doctor to go to that thought of, that doesn't just treat to treat. Let's get over it and get you off of medicine. So we got started in this walk, but I started noticing I changed. Everybody say changed. What happened was I got so caught up in, oh, well, this one's got that in it, and I can't eat this. Okay. And then I go to the store. Well, no, this has got aspartame. Oh, I can't do that. And so I got to get rid of all this, and I got to read everything that I take or eat. And y'all know what happened? My stomach didn't get much better. And all Ricky did was become a pretty sad person at the time. And didn't even know it. And y'all know me. I'll tear up. If the Holy Spirit moves me, I'm going to tear up. So just deal with it. Okay? If it bothers you, suck it up and get over it. Right? Because it's okay. It's okay. But you know what? When your wife looks at you and goes, and she wasn't ugly, she said it so light, and I mean this. This is not one of my jokes. This is for real. But she looked at me and she said, you've lost your joy. You know what? And it didn't hurt me. It was like, oh my Lord, I have lost my joy. See, we understand that happy is that if somebody gives us a really good present that we're wanting, woo, that's happy. Until tomorrow when it breaks, not so happy the next day. But see, when we have that joy, the joy of the Lord that lives on the inside of us, that's what makes us walk a little taller, put our chest back a little bit, that smile that won't go away, and that everybody that you come in contact, you just want to build them up. That's what that joy does to you. But Laurie looked at me and she said, you've lost your joy. Wow. So, excuse me, I'll get it back. But at that point, the Holy Spirit said, you've been looking at the wrong things. And see, I thought that in order to do this health walk, I had to start reading the label. Because I had to make sure that I was eating the right things. And yes, you have to make sure you're doing that. And I still studied the Word, but I wasn't studying the Word with a focus. Amen? Everybody say focus. Focus, the word focus, it means a central point, the ability to concentrate one's attention. My attention was focused on all those little chemicals and all the little preservatives and all the little this and that. And, oh, I can't drink Coke Zero anymore. And, you know, poor pitiful me. And I got focused. I took my focus off the Lord. So how do we start turning when that happens and whatever you're going through and when you don't feel more like a conqueror or you don't overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, what do you do to turn that? Everybody turn to Colossians. Woo! I hope y'all are ready to look up some scripture today. I tell y'all are so excited. Woo! I'm telling you, y'all know me, you better get fired up. I will come down amongst you. Colossians 3. Man, thank you, Jesus. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. So listen to it in the Amplified. And it says, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Even though I was studying, I was still so, the center of my attention was on the dadgum ingredients of food. But what is your distraction? What is your distraction to keep you from focusing on God and get rid of everything else that's going on in this world. Man, I wish you'd have been here Tuesday night. We had a guest musical evangelist. He was incredible. Those of you who were there, he was good, wasn't he? And we'll have him back again, so if you missed it, shame on you. You need to come next time. But he told a story, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, and if he's watching, Johnny, I'm borrowing your story. He talked about that he got this horse he was real proud of. He was so excited. He said that horse would come and do anything he told him to do, that he had told her to do. Man, he had trained that horse, and he said, I was so proud of her, and I'd showed her off to everybody, and I was finally going to ride her in the parade. He said, man, I went and bought tack and headstall. It had silver all over it. Man, she was good looking. And he said, we got in that parade. He said, we were riding in that parade, and everything was good. And then all of a sudden, the clowns showed up. In those little clown cars. And clowns were running around, and I could feel her underneath me starting to move. And she went to pitching and bucking. She threw him off. It knocked the breath out of him. He's laying there in the street. And they said, catch the horse. And he said, I said, shoot the horse. But he used this example, and it fits so perfectly with what's going on today in the world, y'all. Are you looking at the clowns in the world today? Are you looking at the junk that's going on to distract you from keeping your eyes on the Lord? Because when we start putting our eyes on the Lord, then our path is made straight. It becomes smooth. But are you choosing? You just can't help yourself. It's like, I'll tell you a story, a quick one. We were in a show in Branson, Missouri, Dad and I were, and it was a show. I just won't say what it was. It was at Christmas time. And we were sitting around a campfire, and we'd sing music. But there was a guy that was in the show, and he was a large man. A large man. Maybe 400 pounds, and he was about this tall. And he sat right in the middle of the stage on a bale of hay, and he wore dress pants. And he had a hole right in the crotch. And people had to sit there and look at that all night long. And it's like a bad, you just can't not look. You know, once you just like, oh, no. And then, oh, you can't quit. That's what's going on with the world with the distractions nowadays, y'all. You just try and you try and it keeps coming back. Just, you know, here, come back. No. Because Colossians tells us that we set our sights on those above, those things above. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you shall seek me and find me. You shall search for me with all your heart. If you're searching for God, are you searching with all your heart? Or is it kind of like, yeah, okay, that was good. And then you go about your day and you never think about God the rest of the day. Are you searching with all your heart? Because when you do something with all your heart, you're putting your whole self into that. And I have found that out in this walk that I've been on. Things are changing around me that I haven't had to do a thing to. Because I know where my focus is. Amen? Hebrews 11:6, y'all turn there. When we search for the Lord with all our heart, what does it take? It takes faith, right? You have to have faith to believe that God is real, that God will do everything He says He'll do in the Word. You have to have faith. Hebrews 11:6. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Everybody say diligently. Diligently. Everybody say diligently again. Diligently. Yeah. Now that word diligently, I thought was interesting. The Holy Spirit said, you need to look into that word. So I dug into that word. And diligently, obviously it's important because it's 100, in some form of or diligently is in the Bible 133 times. So it must be important if God included it in the Bible that many times, right? I mean, it wasn't once or twice, and that wasn't that good a word, so no. Diligently seek. In the Greek, it means to zealously seek for something with all one's heart, strength, and might. Seek something so passionately and determinedly that he literally exhausts all his power in his search. Persistent in one's devotion to what he or she is doing. That's how we seek God. Do you get so caught up in something else that seems like that's what I'm supposed to be seeking, but did you walk away from God? Did you not stay with God? And then as you're diligently seeking God, because diligently also means passionately. And I'm sure everyone in here, if we were to take a poll, there's something in your life, sometime, that you were passionate about. Or right now. First and foremost, we should diligently seek Him. And that means we should seek Him passionately. Because that's how God is about us, y'all. Amen. He is passionate about us. He's passionate about you, Trey. He's passionate about you, Angela. Kenny, He's passionate about you. He's passionate about you, Janet. Why don't we do that? Why don't we be passionate about Him? Because there's rewards that come with diligently seeking God. That's what the Word says. Yeah, rewarded by eternal life. But there's other rewards, y'all. It's not about the rewards. But when we diligently seek Him, we're not seeking those other things. The other things that distract. We don't seek recognition. That's one thing that man, Johnny must be thinking about me because I'm thinking about him. But that's one thing that he talked about. We didn't even talk about this, but he was, I believe three times he was like musical evangelist of the year. I can't remember the name of the Christian Country Music Association, but he said, when I was young, I wanted to have all these accolades, and he said, I found out I couldn't do it. He said, but when I started doing what I was called to do and to minister, and I started following God, he said, they called me one day and go, hey, you're nominated for Song of the Year. You want to come perform it on the show? And he goes, yeah. He goes, where's the show at? And they said, the Grand Ole Opry. He said, I'd always wanted to play the Grand Ole Opry as a kid growing up doing music. But see, he started seeking the Lord diligently. And when we learn as Christians that if we seek Him diligently, all this stuff around us becomes just stuff. Amen. It doesn't affect us. And when it comes at us, it's like, I don't have time for you today. It'll leave, y'all. You will have that peace. Do you hear me? Say peace. Peace. Come on, y'all. This side over here don't want peace. Y'all say peace. Peace. There you go. Come on. We've got to get fired up about seeking the Lord. It's been such a fun trip for me, and I'm not saying that everybody's like Ricky. Everybody, God is different with each individual person. But when you start seeking the Lord first, the Word says, Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom first, right? And then it goes on to say, all these things will be added unto you. So if we're seeking Him, then we don't have to worry about those other things. We don't have to worry about finances. We don't have to. Our relationships are fixed. Amen? My health. That's what started all this for me. And I'm so excited because I've got to read you this. Where's this verse? I wrote this down. Proverbs 8:17. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early find me. Well, you know, y'all know me that because I've told y'all 7 o'clock was early for me. Laurie gets up at 4, studies, works out, Rick, she brings me a cup of coffee about 7, and we were good to go. I'd study later in the day. So, but God's had me on a path. I ain't getting up at 5 o'clock every morning studying now. I'm like, oh, wow, Holy Spirit, you're really messing with my head. So I looked up that, seek me early. And in the Hebrew, it says to dawn, be early at any task to search for. Who is our teacher? The Holy Spirit. Once we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit lives inside us, right? So as I was studying that morning about this scripture, and I thought, really, Holy Spirit, you know me that early's not early for me. And the Holy Spirit said, but that's not for you. This is not what I want you to see. Here's what he wanted me to see. It's not necessarily early in the morning, but before trials and tribulations hit you. Are you seeking the Lord diligently, constantly, so that as you do that, you're doing it early because you're doing it before something comes against you. And then you're prepared. You're prepared. You're fired up. You're saying, oh, no, 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 Satan. Baby, you ain't happening. We ain't doing this dance. You're going to lose. We have to start taking control of that. We cannot let the devil loses at the end of the book. If you hadn't read the end of the book, read it. But you know what's funny is we forget about that. When the devil comes against us, sometimes it's like, oh no, what do I do? What do I do? If we're seeking the Lord early, then when they come against us, it's like, oh no, 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 not today. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. We're not doing it. See, we have to learn to commit ourselves to God in the one place that we know He will reveal Himself to us, the Word, because that's what it says. We seek the Lord diligently every day in this Word. As we seek the Lord diligently in the Word, then as we go about our day and something happens, you'll be surprised what comes out of your mouth. It won't be the old disgust and the old poor pitiful me, or if my wife says something I didn't really care about, I'm not going to start a fight with her. I'm going to go, I'm sorry. It's not a big deal. It's cool. When we start changing in the Word of God, anytime stuff comes against us, it's just like, it just falls off. It falls off. We have to quit limiting God. Now here's the deal. I've got it in a different way. We got to quit putting God in a box. Y'all have heard this before. I've heard ministers say it. We got to quit putting God in a box because He can do. That's not what I mean. We got to quit putting God over here in the box, and then tomorrow when we need Him, oh, we take Him out of the box. We need to keep Him out of the box, y'all. We need to keep God out of the box. It's not about limiting God. It's about only using Him when you need Him. And I say that using, not in a bad way or an ugly way, but that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have that relationship. He wants us to understand the Word so that we use the Word, and the Word is who? Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. The way is the Word. That's Jesus. I love it. I'm like that podcast I listened to. The pastor said, I can't wait to go to heaven and hear the Word preach the Word. Amen. Just think about that. Jesus is the Word, and He's going to preach the Word. We get to go hear that in person. My Lord. So we have to start thinking that way. And when we do, some of y'all out there going, he probably lost it. No, I'm just kidding, y'all. If you do, I don't care, so. But I love y'all. And here's the thing that I can attest to, and I can testify to, is that 6 months ago, I'm not where I am now. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to be growing in the Lord? I've been in the ministry 10 years now. I'm not the same I was 10 years ago. I'm not scared like I used to be. Scared to be up here and preach the Word. Scared to get up here and talk about the Word. But now, as we grow, we have to learn how to use what we know to take us to the next level. As we learn the Word, how are you using the Word? Are you using it to build yourself up? Are you using it to build others up? Are you using it to build your health? Whatever. Because we've taught, this is the manual for life, y'all. And it's like we taught on tithes and offerings. If you're having financial trouble, the answer is in this book. Look it up. If you're having health issues, right here is the answer. If you're having personal relationship problems, the answer is right here. Amen? Amen. And it says, I will tell you that my wife and I are stronger together than we are apart. Whoo, Jesus. You hear Pastor Corey say, when a husband and a wife agree, that's one of the most powerful bonds. Ooh, I almost went off right there. That's so good. Cat-like reflexes. That did scare me a little bit, though. Ooh, Jesus. I'm okay. But that's what Pastor Corey talks about, is that when there's an agreement in a marriage, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. When God says, I will give you the desires of your heart, but it has to be according to His will. And are you seeking Him diligently? Are you seeking God diligently? Oh man, we still got lots of time. Ooh, I'm just getting warmed up. All right, so the first thing that I want you to get this morning is what? Seek the Lord diligently. So if you're taking notes, that's what I want you to get this morning. Seek the Lord diligently. The second thing, that as we seek the Lord diligently, there's something else that requires us to do that we don't like to do. And in Psalms 139, 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's Psalms 139. So as we grow spiritually with the Lord, we've got to start looking at ourselves, y'all. I've got to quit trying to fix my wife because, well, there's no fixing to be, babe. You're all good. You're perfect. See? Amen. That's right. Y'all know my wife. But see, don't we get so caught up in that we want to fix somebody else instead of ourselves? But as we search the Lord and seek Him diligently, now we have to turn that in. The second thing is we have to search ourselves. We go, God, what's going on? If there's anything that I need to fix, I ask Him that daily. You know, even just driving down the road, me and God talk about good things, a lot of things. And it's like, God, if I've messed up today and I didn't know it, show me. Man, I repent and I'm going to move on. Our God is so good that He forgives us, y'all. So why don't we ask for forgiveness, quit beating ourselves up, and move on? Amen? Amen. It also says that in 1 Corinthians, but let a man examine himself. You know, that's over there where they're doing Jesus is doing the Last Supper. And before it says to drink and to eat, it says that we must examine our hearts first. What's in your heart? Is God in your heart? Is God in your head? See, we got to get from here to here. And then once we get from here to here, then it starts coming out your mouth. See, that junk starts going away. That junk that we talk about, that whatever you say will come to pass. So I have to quit saying that, oh, I don't feel good. I'm sick. Well, guess what? You are. If you say that and you say it enough, how many people you know that do that? But we take that lightly sometimes. Oh, I just was mouthing off. Quit. Quit mouthing off. You know, let's start calling things as though they're not, as though they are. Hey, that's what the Word says. If you're believing for healing, that's what I am. That's what I'm speaking every day. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ephesians 6, I take the shield of faith and I quench every fiery dart that comes against me. Man, It's not war. It becomes a way of life. Right? Like, man, and when somebody passes me on the road and they're ugly, man, I bless them because the way they're driving, they need blessing because they may not make it where they're going. I kid you not. What are you coming out of your mouth? See, we have to examine those things and get rid of the junk, y'all. We have to get rid of the junk. Let me see here. When we're constantly seeking God, we have to be fixed on Him. Right? We have to keep our eye focused on Him. Everybody turn to Matthew. This is one of my favorites. Matthew 14. I love this. If I start closing now, we might get through by noon. So, Matthew 14, and it starts in verse 22, but it's when, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray, apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed in with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Don't you know that mess with you? You're out on the sea, and it's all crazy, and you look out there, and there's somebody out there on the water. That would mess with you. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Here's where we're going. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now that's cool right there, right? I just love that. Because man, wouldn't you want to walk on the water? I mean, and Jesus told him to. So he said, "All right, I got it." And he starts going. What happened? The clowns showed up. Yep. Right? The clowns showed up. And he started looking around. And he started seeing the waves and everything else. He had been looking at Jesus. And man, he was just like, "It's cool." And then all of a sudden, he starts sinking because he started looking at the clowns instead of Jesus. Amen? That's what we have to focus on. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and then all that other stuff goes away. And thank God for the hand of Jesus, because he reached down there and pulled him out of the water. Amen? Even though he was sinking. And that's what he does for us. That even when we get sidetracked, God never left you. God never left you. The Word says he'll never leave us and never forsake us. He's right there with us, but all we got to do is say, "God." And guess what? He reaches his right hand down. I researched that this week, as a matter of fact. He'll reach his right hand down, but he will grasp our hand. We don't grasp his. But the right hand signifies power. Don't you like that? Because when he reaches down with that powerful hand and he gets a hold of you, that power's going right into you. And do you choose to receive that power? Or you just receive to, "Oh, he got me out of another jam. He did it again." Well, if he did it again in the first place, why are you doing it again? Amen? Right? Keep walking in the Word. Seek him diligently, and all the clowns will start going away. Amen? They will. I kid you not. Psalms 105. I told y'all I had some scripture today. Oh man, I was ahead of myself. Psalms 105. Let's start in 3. "Glory ye in his whole name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore." Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking his face? In the Hebrew, face means presence. So if we're seeking the face of God, We're seeking the presence of the, we're seeking to be in the presence of the Lord. Oh man, that is so cool. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. That's just what I was talking about. Why do we not remember what, when we start getting into trouble, well, God's always seen us through. So why do we get away from that? We've got to remember those things He does and build on those things because we're seeking Him diligently. Amen? So the second thing is to search ourselves. Okay? The third thing. I'm having to adjust. So I started out by talking about joy and that I had lost my joy. I found it, y'all, and it is so good. Amen. It makes you want to run and shout. I do that occasionally. Thank God we live out in the country where nobody's around. The rest of the people on our place are crazy too, so it's all right. Where did that go? I know where it's at. Shoot. So, in Nehemiah it says, I just forget about those, I know it. In Nehemiah it tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? That's what it says. So what is that? That means that the joy of the Lord, if we are joyful, we have been diligently seeking the Lord, we're built up in the Lord, and we're strengthened when anything comes against us, right? James says if we need to count all things joy, all trials and tribulations, divers and temptations is what it says, to count it all joy. So this week as I researched and studied, because this is a question you should have. How do you get that joy? And I learned something that I didn't know about. And I learned something every, when you're in the Word, y'all, I learn something all the time. Y'all, flip over to John 15. This was like, bam. You already have that joy in you.
Amen.
But most people don't know. It's like, oh, it's only here for a part of time, then it's gone, then it's, then it, no. I'm fixing to prove it to you. First of all, I want to start at John 15, 5. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is telling us that without him, we can do nothing, right? So let's jump down to verse 11. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Did you see that? No, let me read it again. These things that I have spoken unto you, that my joy, whose joy? Jesus' joy might remain where? In y'all, in me. It's already there. I love that. And that your joy might be full. Everybody say full. Because if we have that joy inside of us, right? That's what the Word said. I didn't make it up. I showed y'all that. It was in red too, by the way. That's extra. That's got extra on it. Okay? So, Jesus said that His joy remains in me. Okay, so I've got it. But when Laurie told me that day that, man, you've lost your joy. And I was like, you're right. What's wrong? You know? So I started diligently seeking the Lord. I changed my focus. What happened was, it's just like we talk about during tithes and offerings, that in order to operate in God's economy, we have to activate it. Okay? So that joy of the Lord is inside of us. But have you activated it today? God's grace and mercy is new every day. Every day. So if that joy remains in us, then every day, why don't you activate your joy first thing in the morning and be done with it? Amen? Because it's going to make all your problems go away, but it'll make it easier to deal with those problems. Right? Amen. When something comes against you, if you get up and the first thing you do is say, man, I thank you for my joy this morning, Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when I start activating the joy of the Lord in me every morning, then guess what? You are fired up and ready to fight the world that day. Amen? Amen. Why do you want to get up in the morning and go, just another day? Oh, this, I got to tell y'all. You talk about a pet peeve. When I was in Branson, Missouri, there's guys there that had been there so long that you had to dust them off. They had so much dust on them, and they were younger than me. A lot of those guys went to Branson when they were 15 years old. You know, kids, their parents took them there to be stars. And they were still there at 35 and 40 years old, and they still weren't stars. They played in shows, but you know what I got tired of hearing? Is I go, man, how are you? And he goes, living the dream. Oh, that used to just live in the dream. How sarcastic can you get? They were so blessed to be where they were at. Living the dream. You know, you meet somebody on the street. Well, you go into the store, at the convenience store, and the kid behind there that, what are you doing? How are you today? Just living the dream. Man, be thankful you got a job. Be thankful that you're walking. Be thankful that you're breathing. Amen. Living the dream. No, I'm living the dream from God. Amen? And I'm following the dream that God has for me. How about you? How about you? It's time to get back on track, y'all. Start seeking the Lord. Joy is the third thing. That's how that you get that joy. The joy's there. Activate it. Start activating that joy. Okay, I'm starting to close. Is that two? Okay, I got one more. Proverbs. Y'all flip over to Proverbs. Man, are y'all getting something this morning? Do you see? This isn't a game, y'all. You know, because I've been there. I went to church this week. Look at me. Ooh, I went to church. Oh, going about the week. Next week, oh, I'm back in church. No. It's a way of life. That's the life I want to lead. I have a blast in the Lord. Man, we're under one of the neatest pastors you'll ever meet. I meet him all over when we travel, y'all. He has got the best. He's got the joy of the Lord. You never see him down. You see him. What you see is that's the way he is. Wherever we go. He's ornery. We have fun. Because you know what our pastor says? We serve a fun God. Our God is all about loving us. Our God is all about strengthening us. Our God is all about if we're all about. Are we all about? Y'all found Proverbs yet? Good, I hadn't. Got carried away. Man. Did I tell y'all what chapter yet? Y'all wait. Proverbs 4. Maybe. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 4. We're going to start in verse 20. And it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. I love that. Keep thy heart with all diligence. See, there's that word. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. If we're seeking the Lord, our path, our road is going to be made smooth. Verse 27, turn not right to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. See, that right hand, left hand, quit looking from side to side, y'all. And you'll keep walking the path that you're supposed to stay on. I want you to hear this in the Passion. Proverbs, there it is. Proverbs 20. By his divine revelation, he broke open the hidden fountains of the deep, bringing secret springs to surface as the mist of the night dripped down from heaven. My child, never drift off course from these two goals for your life, to walk in wisdom and to discover discernment. Don't ever forget how they empower, for they strengthen you inside and out and inspire you to do what's right. You will be energized and refreshed by the healing they bring. Whew. They give you living hope to guide you, and not one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. You will sleep like a baby, safe and sound. Your rest will be sweet and secure. You will not be subject to terror, for it will not terrify you. Nor will the disrespectful be able to push you aside, because God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation. Amen. Y'all, yeah. Let's get back on track. When we stay focused on the Lord, amen, our life, we have that peace, we have that joy that you can walk in every day. Amen. 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 Have y'all had a good time this morning? Amen. Man, I encourage y'all to seek Him diligently. Goodness. Well, right now, you know that we never do a service without giving somebody the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, we don't do anything crazy here. We don't make you come down to the front or anything. But right where you're sitting, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9, we've got to confess Him with our mouth that He is Lord and Savior. When I was about 25 and we went, I've told this story before, but we've had visitors. And that when I was at a church when I was 25 and we were going to have our baby baptized, and he said, are you saved? I said, I guess. I mean, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. He goes, well, have you confessed it with your mouth? And I said, no. He goes, well, then we can't. You have to. And I went, dude, I've been coming here since I was in junior high, and you've never done an altar call, and I'm 25 now. That's a denominational church. I'm not saying anything about denominational churches. I'm just saying you may have went to one of those churches too. So at 25 years old, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. See, I thought I was already saved. I didn't know I had to say it out loud. So right now, we're going to give you that opportunity. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to do that. We're going to say a prayer out loud, but we're going to have all the believers to say it with us, because, you know, here at our church, that's our main goal, is to get people saved. Amen. Man, we want you going to heaven. And tomorrow's not the day to do it. Today's the day to get saved. Right now. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now, we're going to say a prayer out loud. And I want everyone, all you believers, to say it with us. Because you may be sitting by somebody, in front of somebody, that's never accepted the Lord. Man, I beg you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord today, if you've never done it. So out of your mouth, right now, I want you to say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. Be the Lord of my life. I believe that you died and you rose from the dead. Father, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Father, I will seek you diligently. And today, Father, I thank you. Today is my God day. Now, before I say amen and you raise your heads, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just out of respect to people around you, If you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word says, don't be afraid to acknowledge me before man, and I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So right now, I'm going to count to three, and if you just ask Jesus to come into your life and save you, we're going to give you a Bible. We just want you to stick your hand up. I'll acknowledge you and put it right back down. So on the count of three, if that's you, get that hand up. One, two, three. Anybody? Thank you, ma'am. I see you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Keep that hand up until if we didn't get you a Bible yet. All right. They're getting you one right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, y'all, we got three new brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. Amen. Thank y'all.